This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of World Watchers, program number 819. I have a very good book on the contest for governor in California of Jesse Unruh with Ronald Reagan. And just think, if Unruh had won, it would have changed the whole history of the world, probably, except that enough people didn't go out to vote for Unruh. They voted for Ronald Reagan. And now look what they got. The Los Angeles Herald had a story August the 10th. Don't cut Reagan's defense budget. And when I see those titles, I always look for the author. Of course, it's Casper Weinberger. L.A. Herald, the same date, August the 10th, said U.S. clearing Gulf for Iran's tankers, too. It's an article by William Sapphire in making the area safe for all ships in the Gulf at the cost now of $2 million a day for the United States. We're also protecting the Iran tankers at the same time. Washington Post, August the 5th, had one of many, many articles. I have approximately several hundred to condense to three or four. I don't have the main broadcast now, but condense for you. Edwin Meese and the WedTech Corporation. One is titled, Meese Failed to Follow Ethics Rules, General Accounting Office Says, in his partnership with WedTech. And, of course, remember the ethics rules and the questions when he was nominated to become Attorney General that were so overwhelming. The man should have been kicked out of the place, even out of the city and the White House. Washington Post, August 5th, 1987, USSR and Iran plan joint economic projects. Now that Reagan has messed up the Middle East sufficiently, the Soviet Union and Iran are beginning to work together better. The Washington Post had an article August the 5th, again the same day, United States inquiry into Benjamin Linder's death is faulted. There was a shot close to the head, similar to the way Thane Caesar shot Robert Kennedy at the Ambassador Hotel. The reason for saying that Benjamin Linder was killed in Nicaragua was because he was helping some very evil people who won't let La Prensa be open, and the priests can't have freedom of speech to lambast the existing government, so therefore he deserves to die. And many of you might have seen in the newspaper the obscene articles about George Bush debating Linder's death with his brother, as if there's something to debate about, when all these piles of newspaper articles that I see tell about American troops in Nicaragua, Americans training them, the State Department, the CIA, the NSC, the NSA, and every branch of government helping to kill over there. The thing is to kill and take over the country from the existing government. Another article, controversial article, about Congressman Bo Boulter from Texas. The San Francisco Chronicle had this story August 14th. Bo Boulter says that the rich are entitled to better health than the poor. And he gave a very clear speech in Texas that because you're poor, you can't have all the things that we have, or you would be bankrupt. And if we're rich, we're entitled to better care. And Medicare is going to be too high for you, and that's the best you can get for whatever it is, that the rich are more entitled to better health care than the poor. Now, this may sound funny or obscene or ridiculous. Why cite such a silly story? That's exactly what happened in Nazi Germany, and there were more sympathizers with this line of thinking than caring about the poor. And as they read the figures that the cure of AIDS is going to cost billions and billions of dollars, are you going to side up with the homosexuals or a few heterosexuals that have the disease? Or are you going to save the money for better health care for the rich because the poor are going to die anyway or don't deserve to have the money? The People's Daily World had a long article, and I have approximately 30 of them now that the commission hearings, the Iran-Contra hearings are over. I guess it is a congressional commission. This one's titled, Many Questions Remain in Iran-Contra Probe. More are remaining now that were answered at the time, and there are a series of those articles. I'm sure many of you have seen them. People's Daily World ran a very good series to this entire affair, keeping people up to date on the important parts of it. The Washington Post had a story August 13, 1987. Nuclear damage in the Bikini Islands. The American Medical Association Journal. Recent study shows that the Marshall Islands between the 1940s and 1950s had nuclear damage to the people. I mentioned the movie that I saw at the Monterey Film Festival last year called Half-Life about U.S. experiments with a hydrogen bomb. They knew it would land on civilian populations, and they wanted to test the consequences of that on the Bikini Atoll and Marshall Islands. Well, now they're testing it. So what you're getting are the reports. Yes, they have cancer. There's nuclear damage. The movie showed the first generation after the bombs were tested, and a lot of the children, their heads and bodies were like jelly, and they're carried around in carts. But the studies are continuing, and so they can say, you know, almost 40 years later, yes, it damaged the children and the grandchildren, and read it in the AMA. The Los Angeles Times had a long story, August the 8th. Schultz publicly backs Panama opposition. The point is that George Schultz, the saint of the Iran-Contra hearings, had a little secret he wasn't told about, that money went from Iran to the Contras. But publicly, you can overthrow a country. There's no more secrets. You just invade. You take over. You get rid of Noriega, the powers that be. So now he's very proud to say publicly. And there's an article in the syndicated column section that goes around the country by Henry Kissinger on the mistake of Ronald Reagan with the Iran-Contra. He should have just boldly said, this is what I'm going to do, instead of doing surreptitiously. So now we have to face the raw fascists. And do you have the strength or knowledge to oppose them, as they don't have to hide behind various editors' desks and hope they won't be exposed? Another Miami Herald article, lawmaker says the Gulf escorts violated the ban. The reflagging has been challenged by more than 100 members of the Senate and House, although we're doing it, and they want George Shultz to talk about the war, writing down about whether you want the war emergency powers. And of course, he's putting off the name war while the fleets go in heavily armed and seem to be violating certain bans. Miami Herald had another large story. AIDS kills first Chinese. Hemophiliac got to U.S. blood. So out of that great nation with so many people, a person has to get a transfusion from America, and that begins the first AIDS case. It reminds me of the British and the Spanish and the invaders coming in this country, and wherever they went, over the seas, bringing disease, tobacco, and so forth, and a lot of things that killed native populations. So now the Chinese have to get it from a blood transfusion in America. Washington Times had a long story, August the 5th. Arms profits lure firms into doing business with the Soviets. And the article is just arms companies everywhere. And it literally says that there's no distinction between the Soviets and America. They're selling arms happily to the Soviets and happily to anybody who opposes the Soviets. And the profits are huge. Of course, many of you read or heard that the FCC rescinds the fairness doctrine. The Washington Post has a long article. As do almost every one of my papers, and you're sure, on the broadcasters hail the end of intrusion. Well, the broadcasters are hired by the corporations, such as NBC is now owned by General Electric, and the corporations run. Metro Media bought Capital Cities, bought ABC, and Ted Turner is doing a very good job of putting the right-wing persons on talk shows and having right-wing guests and pushing the Oliver North video and so forth. So they would be glad not to have the fairness doctrine, because the multinationals own the airwaves, so they can put out where they want now, and they don't have to be fair to anybody. Another long article from the Washington Post this past week, United States activity in the Gulf may have triggered new Iran radicalism. And there are quite a few on the Gulf, and I bring them up because we're getting closer to World War III and Ronald Reagan's wonderful dream of Armageddon that Jerry Falwell has given him, and the religious fundamentalists. The Washington Post, I guess, there's a series of papers that I read and prefer a lot of their articles because they're easily available in the library. This one is titled, Cord Blamed for Damage to NASA's $4 Million Rocket. This is a light cord that got in the way, described in the newsprint just a few weeks ago, that damaged this big, expensive rocket. Miami Herald again had a story, Elliot Abrams okayed arms shipments, officials say. And this goes into quite a lot of detail and length on Abrams, who appeared so innocent that he didn't know what was going on in Central America. And everybody knows he was lying. He's deputy director of CIA of the Western Hemisphere. And, of course, he knew about arms shipments. But this article is new in that they have evidence and documents that he personally okayed them during the time of the Boland Amendment, when the Defense and State Department and other agencies were told not to be doing that. The Washington Times had a long article, Powerful B-52 Bomb Comes Out of Mothballs. They are ready to be deployed. I could do 1 hour just on new weapon systems, or 1 hour on arms to Iran, or 1 hour of NASA and Defense Department waste where things like these cords get in the way, or 1 hour on the Gulf. I'm just taking a few of these stories to give a sample of what I'm getting in my newspapers. I don't know how many you're getting. The Miami Herald also had a story, U.S. journalists, drug charges are dropped. This is Martha Honey and Tony Avergan. They are the plaintiffs from the Christic Institute suit against 28 or 29 defendants of a huge broad sweep of the secret team. Trumped up charges were placed against them, having drugs that they picked up a package at the post office, and it was mailed to them in their name, and it allegedly had drugs to imply that they were great drug dealers. I'm sure that the $60,000 that General Secord, who does participate in drug traffic with Mr. Robinette of the CIA, who got $60,000 from Secord to frame the Christic Institute or find out about their witnesses, I'm sure that a hunk of this money, $60,000 or $8,000 a month or $4,000 a month, could have some narcotics mailed to these people who go to their box to pick up the mail, and then the police are there and they say, oh, you're a drug trafficker. Well, the point about all this is that they're living in Costa Rica. They travel in Central America, exposing the drug traffic, the gun running, the assassinations, the planned coups. They're still barred from leaving Central America, so they're really house prisoners until the whole thing is over. And it's ridiculous that they would be charging the Contras and John Hull and persons around him with drug traffic, and that they would be getting drugs from Nicaragua. Also, the Washington Times had a story this week, Iran's trial of arms deal and the leak to the Lebanon newspaper by Mehdi Hashemi will undermine Hussein Ali Montazeri. It's a story about Oliver North and Robert McFarlane visiting Iran. We know about the newspaper that printed that they were there. And the persons who undermined this transaction connected to Khomeini's competitor for the great role of running Iran, whoever would want it, they're going to be tried. The person who leaked the story is going to be tried. And while Khomeini deals with people who want to kill him, like Khomeini will work with the secret team, he's going to prosecute the people who blew the story because Iran needs the arms. They don't care who delivers them. So the person who blew the story is a traitor, and the traitor was the opponent to Khomeini, who probably they wanted to show that Khomeini works with America, the evil empire, reversing that story. San Jose Mercury had a long story, de-escalate in the Gulf. It's probable the United States will be drawn into an armed conflict with Iran. I don't know how you feel about that. We just blatantly talk about World War III and World War IV, and there are people that are aware of it, but we all seem, we collectively, totally defenseless to stop this craziness and to use whatever energy we have to get those ships out of there and come home. As a matter of fact, we not only de-escalate, but you read the news today that Ronald Reagan is going to send $1 billion of weapons to Saudi Arabia. And I'll do more on that next week in conjunction with that episode that took place with the airplane over his ranch and some of the reasons for Reagan now becoming so interested again in arming the Contras and in sending the weapons to Saudi Arabia. I think Reagan got the message and loud and clear, and he's ready to deliver. Remember the movie The Godfather with a horse? His head was cut off and it was put in bed, and the message was to shut up. Well, a person doesn't have to be killed. All you find is a horse's head in the bed or an airplane 100 feet from you, and you change your particular stance if you can. And Reagan's trying to placate the right and the left, the hard critics of the conservative group and the others who say, look, the game is up. You may as well go down in history. So, well, persons writing articles are worried about the escalation. He has, as of today, increased it one more time. And as I say, getting out the B-52s, he's ready to go into the Gulf as much as he wants, even though it could possibly lead to World War III. The New York Times had a story, Scientist Defies Federal Rules on Genetic Testing. And it refers to various companies and scientists like those with advanced genetic scientists who don't like their restrictions, and they're going to go ahead and test without being cleared because they want to do it. There are billions of dollars in it. It doesn't matter who's sick. The article doesn't say that, but that's the intent. don't stop what we're doing. We're going to go forward. And, of course, Mr. Graham of the former NASA program, when it was blown up, moved to the White House, where he's in charge of the science group and works with the people of AGS, Mr. Beauregard from Harvard that I've talked about. So now they're on their own. This is the Reagan, Ollie North, William Poindexter, you know, William Casey, Admiral John Poindexter, rather, William Casey mentality, Robert Owen. We do it on our own because we want to. The King Lear problem of using the reasonings or feelings that are weak and not their judgment that it isn't legal to do this. It hasn't been proven to be safe. The Washington Times had a story, new Navy minesweepers hit snag on engine design. We give the Pentagon all the money it wants. We let it go anywhere we want. And then when it doesn't function, we just say, whoops, we made a mistake. The same way there was a story this week about Rockwell International getting $1.5 billion to replace the Challenger. If there's icicles on the Challenger and you want to get that teacher up in space because it's the night of the State of the Union, you flip a coin and you take your chances. And if it doesn't work and the rainbow group of astronauts is down in the ocean or blown up and then down, then you go ahead and get the contracts to build some more. The only thing that happens is the astronauts are gone, and there's still a lot of patriotic people that want to be astronauts that can't see this. But the important thing is that we make these pieces of machinery, and we have sitting ducks, people, Americans, and be killed all over the world. But that doesn't matter to the people at home who see the killing of their own, and they rationalize the president's decisions. The CIA is everywhere. They're in the Philippines. I have a very intense article on John Singlaub with death squads in the Philippines, and he's in Laos. And then there was another story in the Washington Times. U.S. conducts joint maneuvers with Somalia. There isn't an area or an inch of planet gold that we don't want to control and own. And if you enlarge that, another story this past week, CIA interfering to destabilize India. No place is precious. We have our eyes on overthrowing Ghana, and several people linked to Ollie North were stopped. That doesn't mean we won't try again, and the Americans are very ingenious at going back until they succeed at these operations. The Washington Times had a long article, as did the LA Times, on AIDS, and this one cited August the 4th, says researchers link parasite with AIDS in Africa, and now they're getting into ways AIDS can be carried and live in certain parasites, and the real truth about how AIDS are developed is yet to be exposed from Fort Detrick, Maryland. The Washington Times had an article August the 4th. Robertson, Pat Robertson, who's running for president, ties dirty tricks to him, to George Bush, rather, the former CIA director, and they would know what dirty tricks are. And also another article, Representative Jack Kemp says that he's the victim of dirty tricks used by George Bush's aides. Now, Bush can say, of course, I didn't know what they were doing, but the CIA is notorious in overthrowing elections and getting who they want, and Robertson is complaining about dirty tricks from Bush, and so is Jack Kemp. The Miami Herald had a long article, this is July 30th, clothing funds went for arms. Many of you heard Robert Owen testify, and then George Shultz from the State Department, and now they're finally admitting that the $27 million that was supposed to go to State Department for non-lethal aid went in, what was clothing were weapons, they were mixed together, and that the Boland Amendment was shot full of holes for about 80 different reasons and ways, and so mixed with the clothing are arms. The Los Angeles Times had a story August the 8th. Israeli says Walsh must withdraw two subpoenas. Several Israelis were supposed to testify before the special prosecutor about the links of Israel to arms to Iran and to the Contra. Israel says, nope, go away. We withdraw your subpoena. It's not that you're going to serve it and we won't get it. Withdraw it. We don't have to count to you. We're your 51st state. Forget about it and don't bother us. Speaking of 51st state, did you notice, or I read in the paper, I haven't gotten it yet, the $1 stamp that has the Star of David engraved into the beard of an elderly Jewish person on the stamp. Miami Herald, July 31st, has a story, White House knew of Miami probe of gun running drugs. Long articles came out just last week on how long the White House knew, and this is actually from May of 86. The Christic Institute was filed in May 29th, but the intent to file it, the pre-legal work, was put together from a year before, from 1985, and they filed in May of 86. But the White House was very well aware. Edwin Meese helped stop the investigation. William Webster helped stop it. The CIA, the FBI, William Casey, they were all part and parcel of sabotaging countries and interfering with the rights of others, and also working with gun runners and narcotic traffickers. And they were aware of what was going on and stopped those investigations. This is a long article on that. The New York Times had a story August the 1st. Link in Contra supply gets immunity. Lieutenant Colonel Richard B. Gadd, who was part of the Stanford Technology Trading Group, an important link to the arms that went to the Contras, is getting immunity by Lawrence Walsh, which is interesting. I read a shocking article that so far he's given 22 people immunity. He's given Robert Owen immunity and so forth, but 22 people immunity. Then he'll go for a handful of people who will all be released by Ronald Reagan, and that way everybody gets off. It is really sickening to see how this is operating, and he's working sort of on the principle of Watergate, and Watergate was based on Nuremberg. Use a handful of Nazis and let the 40, 50,000 hard Nazi war criminals out, have 12 charged, a few were hung, and then release the others. John J. McCloy, who was a member of the Warren Commission and High Commissioner to Germany, who worked with the top Nazis, his job and Senator Joe McCarthy, his first year in the Senate, were to release the Nazi war criminals so they could be useful to America. There was a long article in the London Times, July 26, titled Mises' Enemies to Move in for the Kill. And London must think that we've gone bananas picking on Edwin Meese. The paper, the London Times, is owned by Mr. Murdoch. And I did some broadcasts about Murdoch and the London Times and Edwin Meese a while back when Mike Royko resigned from the Chicago Tribune. I believe it was. He had written a column for years because Murdoch plunked down approximately, I forget what it was, 30 or 40 million, bought the entire paper and said, I don't want to hear any more about Edwin Meese, his confirmation hearings, or criticism of the Grenada operations and the coup we had in Grenada. So for approximately $40 million, he just bought the whole newspaper because you weren't supposed to know about Ed Meese, and maybe they didn't want you to know about Mr. Gifreda and FEMA and the rounding up of people, rounding up the $21 million that would be in the hands of 21 million blacks would be in the hands of Ollie North. So the one newspaper, one of the two major newspapers in Chicago was bought to stop inquiries into Edwin Meese being printed in the news media. And the London Times has this long article, Enemies Move In for the Kill. The San Francisco Examiner and other papers and the wire service, Atlanta murder files open. Wayne Williams' conviction is challenged. You know, how many of these articles, as I say, each one of them is a separate story on the framing of Wayne Williams and the links of the murders of the black young men to the Ku Klux Klan. I've done broadcasts on that. And also, after 20 years, the L.A. Herald and the L.A. Times have an article, August the 4th, Senator Robert Kennedy's assassination files to be opened. Ronald Reagan should be reading some of these papers. Carlucci shouldn't just tell him for 30 minutes what's out there. It was Ronald Reagan who worked with Patrick Frawley and people that were very much involved in the Robert Kennedy story, the characters involved in the Kennedy assassination with his linkage to Edgar Eugene Bradley, and that network of the secret team that have been doing murders under the marriage of Robert Mayhew of the CIA, FBI, Hughes organization with the Defense Department and the CIA and FBI. Ronald Reagan should be reading some of these stories. My goodness, what would he do? Nation magazine in an article, August the 1st issue, Schools for Scandals, A Guide to the Iran-Contra Theories. You know the word conspiracy theorists? Now, after just citing some of the most interesting, and I have four times amount that much that I would like to share with you about this past week's news. I didn't go into the drug connections, the secret teams, the martial law plan, and so forth. These writers write for Nation, David Korn and Jefferson Morley. Now, they put up a lot of the money for Pacifica. They have the Iran-Contra hearings going. The Nation magazine did. And this is, I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from their article talking about the different theories on Iran-Contra. At the end of one day, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North's testimony before the congressional committees, there were two conspiracy-minded journalists who cornered a committee member and asked what it meant that three figures in the scandal that North was talking about, Director William Casey, Vice Admiral Arthur Moreau, and National Security Staff member Donald Fortier. These were men all over North, one in the Defense Department, Moreau, and one in the NSC, Fortier. What does it mean that they had all died? Yeah, I noticed that, the congressman muttered, to which one of the reporters said, what a plan they had. And then he says, conspiracy theories of the Iran-Contra affair have been flourishing since the first news of the scandal and the testimony of Oliver North. Rear Admiral John Poindexter and others aren't likely to discourage them. What appears in the press as a parade of deceit and battling revelations, punctuated by the emergence of new celebrities, there's a variety of causes that demand explanation. The public and Congress need a comprehensible framework for making sense of the avalanche of details generated by the scandal and the hearings. The death of three Reagan administration officials with links to the scandal is, and he's nice enough to say, probably a coincidence. Many other seemingly puzzling revelations of the past 9 months are not. He does not go into the death of Cyrus Hashemi, who died in London, who's very much tied to Albert Hakim and Adnan Khashoggi and Edwin Meese. He doesn't go into the death of other very important witnesses, one who was killed in Paris, who was responsible for sending the weapons from Poland to via to ship to Portugal, and so forth. I'm going to run down, hopefully, maybe the last 4 weeks of the formal part of World Watcher that goes out by tape or subscription, the death squads of the Iran-Contra people, the people that they have been mentioned as having a part of murdering and or have been identifiably linked with those murders, and to believe that these three are the only ones, and very coincidental, is ridiculous. He does say it's probably a coincidence, but come on now, how old do you have to be and how long do you have to go through that BS to know that these are not coincidences? Now, I get a newsletter from France. I've mentioned, oh, pardon the ruffling of papers here. I get a newsletter from France I've mentioned before called Intelligence Parapolitics, and you can subscribe to it. P.O. Box 50441, Washington, D.C., 200040441. And in there, they're reviewing a book, new book out by William Blum, B-L-U-M, called The CIA, A Forgotten History. It's published in London, so you'll have to try and get it from London, Zed Press, Z-E-D, 57 Caledonian Road, just like it sounds, London, capital N, I or N1, and then 9, the number 9, capital B, capital U. And in this book, it has index notes about the role, in the newsletter, it has index notes about what is reprinted in this book. Until you get the book, it itemizes some of the activities of the CIA. And this intelligence review says the author plunges into a 49-chapter critical history of major CIA covert operations. Each chapter concerns a specific case. They cover from China in 1945 to 1960s to Nicaragua from 1981 until now. There is a critical analysis, well documented, and serves as a very good reference for known material on the CIA interventions, and material that is usually spread out through many, many different books and articles. And we print here the table of contents of this very useful book. And I want to mention that they have these coups in chronological order. And again, they carry the Eisenhower Doctrine in the Middle East, in Indonesia, 1957-58, Western Europe and British Guiana. And they come to the 1960s, Western Europe, British Guiana, 1953-64, and also Cuba, 1959-1980. That's a secret team. And into Indonesia, 1965. I don't see in this contents Brazil that was overthrown with Frank Carlucci and Vernon Walters. But what's left out of every single one of these things, they're beginning to add them up. I should begin and end every program of World Watchers. What's left out of these chronologies over and over and over again is the 1961-63 plans to set up and murder President John Kennedy of the United States. We had a military coup in that time period that was arranged actually from 1959 on with Robert Mayhew. The killers are still in power and doing as much killing as ever. They're ready for their Armageddon in the Middle East. And every one of these indexes and books leaves out what happened in Dallas, Texas, in 1963 or the killing of a presidential candidate, Robert Kennedy, on the eve of becoming possibly the president in 1968. So I will always interject into these chronologies. Why are people leaving out the American coup, and why can they recognize that we had a coup in 1963 by the military who are active in power today? This is Mae Brussel. I'll be back with you next week, and I thank you for articles you're sending. Remember, no tapes, no calls, no bibliographies. I'm easing out of that part. You tape it off the air, or if you subscribe, you'll get the sheets for a few more weeks. I'll be back with you next week to continue on these subjects.